are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name's Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy trade deadline day. Quite honestly, I thought we'd have a little bit more to talk about today. We had a packed show on Wednesday in the wake of the trade late Tuesday night when the Wolves participated in the four-team trade with Atlanta, Denver, and Houston. Unfortunately, nothing's really happened in the past 24 hours or so related to the Wolves. There's a couple of small rumors we'll get to here in a moment. But outside of that, there really hasn't been all that much to write home about related to the Timberwolves on the trade front. We're going to talk through a couple of those things. Then we're going to get to the Wolves-Hawks debacle from Wednesday night, as the Wolves have now lost, I think it's 13 in a row, although quite frankly, I'm starting to lose track. It was a not great effort that, again, was a push at the end of the game from the Wolves that made things look somewhat interesting, more interesting than they actually were. But we'll get into that here in a little bit as well. We'll talk about studs and duds from the game. But I want to open in our first segment by talking about the trade deadline and the little bit of news that has broken since the trade went down late Tuesday involving the Wolves. I guess, first of all, that trade did become official right around the end of the Wolves-Hawks game on Wednesday. Each of the teams involved tweeted out the trade happened. Atlanta also officially waived Chandler Parsons to accommodate the trade, make some roster space. So that deal was completely done. And that, I guess, is the biggest news in terms of it. Actually, everything happened. It went through. There's also a little bit of talk about Malik Beasley and Juancho Hernan Gomez did approach Nuggets management according about the possibility of being traded. This is by Mike Singer at the Denver Post reported that within the past month, each player was looking for more playing time. We talked about this on Wednesday's pod, but both those guys were key parts of the rotation last year for a 54-win Nuggets team that was the 2 seed in the West. And this year, Jeremy Grant, Michael Porter Jr., the continued presence of a lot of the veterans there, Paul Millsap, et cetera, they were kind of pushed out of the rotation somewhat. They're on the fringes of the rotation. So both players were looking for additional opportunity. They'll certainly get that in Minnesota. They'll have the opportunity to prove that they're worth a contract and restricted free agency this summer. I talked about this on Wednesday, but I think that if Malik Beasley plays as he has when he's been given extended minutes, he'll get a good contract this summer and he'll stick around. I'm guessing the Wolves see him as a starting caliber player in the offense they're trying to build. I think Hernan Gomez has a similar shot. I don't think he's going to get paid nearly as much. I don't think the upside's quite as much as Beasley's is. But if he plays well, there's a chance that he could stick around in more of a team-friendly deal a la the Jake Layman deal that the Wolves were able to get Layman from Portland in a sign-and-trade this summer. Something similar to that where it's kind of a team-friendly deal, but it gives some cost or some cost certainty to the team, but then also some security for the player as well. So those things are certainly possible. But at any rate, that trade is complete. That trade is official. I would expect the Wolves to get some of those guys, Beasley, Hernan Gomez, possibly Evan Turner, Jared Vanderbilt, all those guys in uniform by Saturday night's game. I should also mention Evan Turner. There's been some talk about whether or not he'll get bought out. Nobody really knows at this point. Obviously, Darren Wolfson from Score North was talking about, the agent for Turner had texted Darren Wolfson and said that he's working with the Wolves front office and that Rosas has been super professional, et cetera, et cetera. It seems likely the Wolves are going to try and flip his contract as part of a larger deal before the deadline still on Thursday, which is possible. I don't think it's likely. If it doesn't happen, odds are he'll report and he'll play for the Wolves and they'll continue buyout discussions. There's a March 1st deadline to be waived and then be able to latch on with a playoff team and appear in the postseason. So the Wolves would work with Turner on that March 1st deadline. But in the meantime, the Wolves need experienced ball handlers. If you watched Wednesday's game against Atlanta, that was quite apparent. So do expect Turner to suit up for the Wolves if he's not traded by Thursday's deadline, but there still remains the possibility that he's moved here in the very near future. The only other real Timberwolves rumor is kind of a weird fringy note related to the Andre Iguodala trade that is kind of still in the works, but Memphis is trading Iguodala, who of course hasn't played this year, to Miami. They're working on matching up salaries. Justice Winslow will probably be part of the deal, but there's also some other players with significant salaries that the Heat need to clear from their books. Deion Waiters, James Johnson. According to James Johnson's agent, I'm reading this on hoopsrumors.com, Johnson's agent says that there are three teams interested in Johnson if he is traded elsewhere, unless the Bucks, Rockets, and Timberwolves. Kind of funny. The Bucks and Rockets are obviously two of the best teams in the league, two legit championship contenders. The Wolves are not. And so the idea that that he could pick between those three teams potentially, or that the Wolves would trade for him, is really interesting. I think I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I think it's pretty unlikely, but the reason why I think it's unlikely is James Johnson's on the books. He's got a player option for next season for over $16 million. Just over $16 million. He's getting paid 15.3 this year. Why would the Wolves acquire a guy who's, he's not going to opt out of $16 million? I mean, James Johnson is, he's going to be 33 next year. He's going to take that $16 million. Do the Wolves want that on the books for next season? Unless they see him as a valuable player who can help change the culture. He's a tough guy. He plays hard. He's played in a lot of playoff teams. And then potentially they could flip him next year around the deadline, assuming he opts into that player contract. That's really the only thing that makes sense. I do think his fit next to Towns is pretty intriguing. He's a guy who can step out and hit threes, but he's more of a tough player who can guard multiple positions. He's just an okay rebounder. But that's the type of culture shift that the Wolves are looking for, is a guy who's going to, he's not going to take any flack, and he's going to play hard. He's going to get Towns to play hard. And he's going to, you know, hit threes when he's open. He's shooting just under 36% from three this year, shot 34% last year. So there is some, if the price wasn't $16 million, I would say that the Wolves should be interested. At that price, I just think there's too many things that have to go right to be able to flip him next year for requisite value. So I'm not sure that I would go that route if I were the Wolves. All right, next up, we're going to talk about the game. I wish that there was more to talk about on the trade front with the deadline in just a few hours here. If there is something that happens, I think it's likely they do something, but I think it's fairly minor. It might be a second round pick for Dennis Smith Jr. Oh, I should also mention that was a brief rumor in the afternoon on Wednesday after we had recorded the podcast. There was a report that the Wolves are still looking for a point guard, which is not surprising, of course, because they don't have any point guards other than Jordan McLaughlin. I was going to try and pull up the tweet. It was a national NBA reporter, Keith Smith, who writes for a number of different outlets, said, per league sources, the Minnesota Timberwolves are actively pursuing point guards before Thursday's trade deadline. The Wolves now only have two-way player, Jordan McLaughlin, at point guard. Minnesota has been linked to Dennis Smith Jr. of the Knicks recently. We've talked about this briefly before on this podcast. I don't think Dennis Smith Jr. is a great fit. I don't think he's a particularly good player. That said, if the Wolves gave up a second round pick for him and, you know, they think that a high usage guy who can get to the rim, be athletic, rebound his position well, is a good fit with Towns, then it's worth a shot. There's certainly still some upside there for Smith. I tend to think that a lower usage guy who can play solid defense and knock down threes is a better fit next to Towns in terms of point guard. Obviously, that wasn't Jeff Teague. I think somebody like a better shooting Tyus Jones is a perfect fit at point guard for the Wolves, who can lock down the point guard spot defensively, doesn't need the ball in his hands to be super successful, but he can knock down open threes. All of those things describe Tyus Jones, except for he's a little bit of a below average 3-point shooter for a point guard. The Wolves need to find a guy like that who fits what they're doing. I don't know that Dennis Smith Jr. checks the correct boxes there. I think while there's still some upside, I don't know that that makes a whole lot of sense, but we'll see. It wouldn't shock me if the Wolves were able to flip Evan Turner's contract. Maybe there's a pick or two involved. They mess around with the salary cap a little bit. Perhaps they give up a late pick for somebody like a Dennis Smith Jr. It wouldn't surprise me if something minor happened. I wouldn't expect anything major. If there is something major, we'll have an emergency podcast here on Thursday. Otherwise, we'll talk about whatever happens on Friday morning's podcast here at Locked On Wolves. We'll make sure to cover it entirely. Before we move on to talk about Wolves Hawks, I did want to mention this is your last opportunity to take part in our Pre-Bomb the Woj Bomb contest. You can win two free tickets to see your favorite team in their home arena by guessing an NBA trade perfectly before it happens. We're calling it Pre-Bomb the Woj Bomb. Remember, the deadline is today at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. Today, Thursday, the 6th. Go to any of the Locked On NBA Network accounts on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Post a trade you think will happen. Tag 5 people with your trade in your post. If you're right, then you have the chance to win 2 tickets to see your favorite team play in their home arena. Trades will be evaluated based on players and picks and not cash. If multiple people win, the first person with the correct trade is the winner. One winner will be chosen across all Locked On social accounts. If no one guesses the exact trade, the winner will be the closest one to the pin. Go now and pre-bomb the Woj Bomb with your trade deadline trade at Locked On NBA Network. Remember, that's any of our Locked On NBA Network accounts, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Post the trade you think will happen, tag 5 people with your trade, and you have a chance to win some tickets. If ever there was an opportunity for the Wolves to snap their now even more bloated losing streak, it was Wednesday at home against the Hawks. They had a day off. They're at home. Atlanta was 14-37 headed into the game. And I guess the Wolves were shorthanded, but other than that, there's really no reason the Wolves should not have been more competitive in this game. Minnesota ultimately lost 127-120, but they trailed the entire game. They were down 12 after the first quarter. They were down 8 at halftime. They were down 19 headed to the fourth quarter against a team that's even worse than they are, was 6-20 on the road coming into the game. there's really no reason why the Wolves, with the best player on the floor in Karl-Anthony Towns, shouldn't have been more competitive. And quite frankly, it was effort. Basically the first 3.5 quarters, the Wolves did not try. It was pretty evident. There was a couple of rebounds that went right in between four players, and nobody was really all too concerned about getting the rebound. There was very, very little urgency in transition on either end of the floor, offensively or defensively, and it was just really kind of sad to watch. The Wolves did get Allen Crabbe back from his knee subluxation, and he was available. He only played 13 minutes. They called up Jalen Noel from the G League. He only played 10 minutes. Clearly, at some point, Ryan Saunders needs to be questioned related to these losing streaks. Obviously, there's a little bit of a shortage of talent, but if you tried out Karl-Anthony Towns, you should not. I mean, they haven't won since, what, the day before Thanksgiving with Towns on the floor? And that's not acceptable. In terms of the rotation, I think this is exactly the sort of time when Jalen Noel should be getting more run. Jordan McLaughlin played well in this game, but Jalen Noel should be getting more run. Allen Crabbe should be getting more opportunities to shoot the ball. He attempted 1-3 in 13 minutes. That's not why. I mean, he joined this team to shoot threes. That's why the Wolves acquired him. Minnesota instead watched Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver each go 0-for-3 from the floor. As a team, they shot 9 of 35, 25.7%. Wiggins was 3 of 8. Towns was 2 of 6. You take those guys out. I guess Naz Reid was 2 of 3. Jordan McLaughlin was 1 of 6 from beyond the arc. Just a really bad all-around performance. This was the second straight game. They did this against Sacramento the other night, where Minnesota did have a strong fourth-quarter push. In Sacramento, they actually had a chance to tie the game at the buzzer, due as much to Sacramento's incompetence as to their own surge. But in this particular game, the Wolves never quite got that close, but they were also down by more and trailed throughout the game, had every opportunity to get back into it at the end, and still couldn't do it. This is actually the flip side of, if you look at the first part of this losing streak, which now stretches back, I don't know, almost 3 weeks. Some of these games that they lost, they were actually in the games, the Toronto Raptors game, both Pacers games, the Thunder game, or I guess one of the two Thunder games, even the Rockets game, the second one, not the first one, the Bulls game, all those games, the Wolves were in, and in a lot of cases winning earlier in the game. And then in the later stages, the Wolves just simply didn't, you know, they couldn't get it done against teams that have more talented rosters. But the Wolves were actually competing. They were in the game the last couple times out, against the Kings, against the Hawks, and even to some extent against the Clippers over the weekend, last weekend. The Wolves kind of hung around, and then made a push at the end of the game. They haven't really been blown out wire to wire, except for, I think, the one Houston game. And then you could argue that this Hawks game, which is perhaps a new low, given how bad the Hawks are themselves. So clearly just an all-around disappointing performance, disappointing effort from the Timberwolves. And looking ahead, I mean, when are they going to get a win? I mean, they play the Clippers on Saturday. They'll have some reinforcements. Malik Beasley, Hernan Gomez should play. Then they're at Toronto. Those are both games that they're not likely to win. They're not likely to snap this losing streak. Again, they've lost 13 in a row now. Then Charlotte and Boston at home. The Charlotte game's obviously winnable, but so is this game against the Hawks. In between there will be the All-Star break. So there's only 3 games to go until the All-Star break. And I don't know. It would feel really good if they could win that last one against the Hornets prior to the break next Wednesday. Because otherwise, I mean, we're talking a legit 3 full months since their last victory with Towns on the floor. And 13 losses in a row. No, they haven't won a game, period, since January 9th. And remember, they had won 3 out of 4 after New Year's. They'd beaten Golden State, Cleveland, and Portland 3 out of 4. And then since then, gone on this 13-game skid now that Towns is back in the fold. So not a whole lot to write home about there. We are still going to talk studs and duds. I think it's important to go through the box score to talk about what went down and which players played well. So we're going to do that here in our last segment. And then we'll, on Friday's show, we'll talk a little bit about about recapping the deadline. So stay tuned here just a second. We're going to talk studs and duds. Picking studs and duds for this game is actually maybe more complicated than it should be. The Wolves didn't really have, they had basically 6 guys that played a bunch of minutes. Everybody else was between 10 and 13 minutes. It's hard to call those guys out too much for their production or lack thereof. We'll start with Towns. I'll give him a stud for this game. He had 21 and 11. He did have 4 turnovers and 3 personal fouls, but he only attempted 15 shots, 7 of 15 from the floor, 2 of 6 beyond the arc. You can't have Karl-Anthony Towns play 38 minutes and only attempt 15 shots. It doesn't make any sense. The Hawks were double teaming on the catch again, which has been recently the recipe to beat the Wolves, until Minnesota can make perimeter jumpers, and until Towns can consistently, he's actually done a pretty good job this year passing out of double teams and occasionally scoring through double teams and drawing contact and drawing fouls. Teams are just going to continue to double team Karl Anthony Towns. And so that's what happened in this game. That's why he only attempted 15 shots in 38 minutes. He did have a couple steals and assists and a block. He was okay, but because he was still the best player on the floor for the Wolves, he gets a stud in this game. I'm going to go ahead and put Andrew Wiggins and Josh Okogie in the neither category. Wiggins had 25 on 20 shots, 3 of 8 beyond the arc, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. But he still shot 9 of 20 from the field, wasn't ultra efficient, had 4 turnovers to 3 assists. And just, I mean, other than turning it on briefly in the second half, it wasn't a consistent effort. Josh Okogie was overall really good. 23 points, 8 of 11 shooting, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. He was 8 of 8 on non-3-point attempts inside the arc. But he was 0 of 3 beyond the arc, had 0 rebounds in 37 minutes. And Okogie's actually a decent rebounder for his position, for his size. I mean, he plays hard. He's strong. You know, he's got a good wingspan and he can jump. I don't understand how he gets 0 rebounds in 37 minutes. That's not a frequent occurrence for Josh, but at any rate, that puts him solidly in the neither category for studs or duds. The other stud, I'll give one to Jordan McLaughlin, even though I think he played too much. He played 31 minutes, had 15.7 assists, 3 steals, no turnovers. 7 of 15 from the floor, only 1 of 6 beyond the arc. He was a +4 in a game the Wolves lost by 7. Was a big part of that fourth quarter near comeback as well. So he gets a stud for this game. He's actually played pretty well in kind of an emergency type role, as the Wolves have their point guard situation has, between injuries and now ultimately both guys being traded away, both Teague and Napier being traded away. McLaughlin's the guy now. And even though he came off the bench in this one, he finished the game as the point guard. In terms of duds, Jarrett Culver gets a dud for this one. 7 points, 3 assists, 3 of 9 shooting, 0 of 3 beyond the arc. So both Okogie and Culver went 0 of 3 from deep. Culver was 1 of 3 at the free throw line. Had a couple of instances where it looked like he was going to throw down a dunk and was blocked a couple of times, was fouled once, and then missed the free throws. Missed the opportunity for an and one. Just an all-around disappointing game again for Culver. And he's, for as hot as he was for roughly 2 weeks, he's really kind of cratered since then. And the All-Star break's going to do him some good as the Wolves hopefully try and take some pressure off of him moving forward with the arrival of Malik Beasley and hopefully working in Jalen Noel and working in Keelan Martin a little bit more as well. Should also note that the Wolves took on Jeff Teague in this game. He was traded away just like 3 weeks ago from the Wolves. And there was a moment where he had a steal from Andrew Wiggins, got into the paint a couple times, got fouled, was 7 of 7 from the free throw line. And it really felt like this was some sort of a revenge game. There was kind of a collective shoulder shrug on the Wolves broadcast on Fox Sports North. Dave Benz, Jim Peterson were talking about how Teague has always been able to turn it on when he wants to and be really effective. But unfortunately, the Wolves didn't get a whole lot of that in his 2+ seasons with the Wolves. But he ended up doing not that much damage in this game. He had 9 points, 2 assists, a steal and a block in 19 minutes. Did get into some foul trouble as well. Trevion Graham only played 8 minutes for the Hawks. Didn't put up any numbers. Had 3 rebounds, 0 of 1 shooting. Was a +6 in his 8 minutes. But both those guys are part of the rotation. Unfortunately, the Wolves just let the two guys that could hurt them, John Collins and Trae Young, hurt them. And weren't able to limit either one of those guys really at all. And that combined with a lack of consistent effort from the Wolves was enough to swing this game entirely in the Hawks' favor. All right, on Friday's show, we are going to talk about anything that happens on Thursday at the deadline, any near deals that happen that are rumored, anything that comes up related to the Wolves. If there is something major that happens, we'll try and do an emergency podcast before then, but otherwise we'll cover any minor deals or any almost deals on Friday's show, as well as preview Saturday's game against the Clippers, as the Wolves will hopefully have Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernan Gomez, and possibly Jared Vanderbilt all ready in uniform and ready to play. Also, I don't know if you noticed this watching the game on Wednesday, but Jake Lehman was dressed for the game. He did not play and was listed as out before the game, but the Wolves were shorthanded, so they actually had him dressed for the game. He's apparently very close to returning. So at this point, maybe they wait till after the All-Star break, but that was good to see as well that he's certainly getting close. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.